Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 48. Psalm 48, as we consider together this evening Zion, the city of our God. It is a song, it's a psalm of the sons of Korah. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king, within her citadels God has made himself known as a fortress. For behold, the kings assembled, they came on together. As soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic, they took to flight. Trembling took hold of them there, anguish as of a woman in labor. By the east wind you shattered the ships of Tarshish. As we have heard, so we have seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. We have thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. Walk about Zion, go around her, number her towers. Consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may all tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. This is God's world. He made it, and it belongs to him. It always has, and it always will. The sad fact is that many people forget that and erect on this earth many cities. If we consider the history of the world throughout the centuries, we see many cities have come and gone. We think of the great city of Babylon. We think of the great cities of the Greeks. We think of the glory that Rome once was. And people build cities and they belong to powerful men. And why people do that is because when we fell in the Garden of Eden, we became very exposed. You see, we lost not only our God, we lost our home. And there's something that happens when you lose your home. When you lose your home, you lose your people. You lose the ones that are there to protect you and take care of you. There's something else that happens when you lose your home. And that is that you kind of begin to feel, because you don't belong anywhere, you begin to feel like you're nobody. You lose your identity. You don't know who you are anymore. And you feel like you're nobody and nothing in the world. When you lose your home, all kinds of things happen to you that make you lose some of the good things about you. You become, as it were, tainted by the world and contaminated by the things that your home protected you against. And you lose your purity. Home is a place where you can stay clean, even when you're a teenager, and even when you're younger than that. It's a place where you stay pure, uncontaminated from the things in the world and the things that make us dirty. When you lose your home, what happens also is you kind of lose your joy. It's not a pleasure anymore, as much as it once was to be alive. You lose your pleasure, but there's something else that happens, and that is that you feel exposed and weak. You feel like you have no strength and power, and you feel like you're threatened by everyone and everything around about you. You lose also your protection when you lose your home. And then what happens is you kind of lose your hope, because you feel that whatever you have now is at best very temporary, isn't it? It's just going to be for a while. That's what happens when you lose your home. Now, maybe much of what I've said to most of you this evening will make absolutely no sense, because by God's grace, that has not happened to most of us, that we ever lost our home. So we kind of have to imagine what it will be like to lose your home and to lose the people who take care of you, to lose who you are and your identity, to lose your purity and to lose your pleasure and your power and your protection, and to lose your future and your hope. But God knows that this is exactly what we lost when we fell in the Garden of Eden in Adam and Eve. This is what we lost. We lost all of that. And even though we do try to make ourselves safe and secure and sheltered in some way, in our homes, in our churches, in our education, in our careers, we try to regain some of that, some people that are precious to us and that will take care of us, and we also try to establish some kind of standing for ourselves in that, and we try to stay pure and good in the world, and we try to gather some pleasure in the midst of all of that, and also we try to stay strong and protected, and especially protect those who are precious to us. And we try to make it as permanent as possible, don't we? We try to make sure that which we establish as fallen people in a fallen world will be as permanent as possible, so that our children and our children's children will also enjoy all these things that we have lost and that we now have tried to regain for them. And it's with that in mind that this psalm speaks so clearly to us tonight, because it speaks of a city. The city of our God, a holy mountain, and it speaks of a place where we have all these things that we lost in the Garden of Eden. And if you read carefully, you'll see that God provides for you all that you need, life and breath and everything. I want you to consider the psalm together with me this evening and look first of all at the place, and then the praise in the place. Now we see the place described from verse 1 right through to verse 8. We see seven things said about this place that God has made and established that you and I need. This is our home. This is the home of the Christian. And the psalm tells us seven things about it. And the first thing it tells us about its proprietor. It tells us who owns this city. It says, it is the city of our God. It begins with, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Where? In the city of our God. So we see there the proprietor of this city. Who owns it? God owns the place of your safety. He's the one who owns the place that He made for you and I to have all that we need. This is not the city of a mighty Caesar or a mighty president or a mighty king. This is the city of our God. And we know that He's speaking about Jerusalem at the time that this was written. And the psalm was written sometime in the history of Israel to use to sing in their worship and to remind them of all these things that God is to them. They didn't look at Jerusalem just as another city. They looked at it as God's city. This is the city of our God. He's the proprietor. The second thing we see about this place is its prominence. Its prominence. It is not just any place. It is a prominent place. Now remember what I said to you a moment ago. When you lose your home, you lose the people who own it. You lose the people who are supposed to take care of you. And here God gives us Himself. He says, yes, you have lost all of that. Do you know what? I'm giving you a city that is mine. And you will never lose me again. I'll be the one who owns the city. I'm the one who builds it. I'm the one who sustains it. I'm the one who makes it beautiful. And you will never lose your people again. You will never lose me. This is what it means that this is the city of our God. Secondly, it's a prominent place. You remember what I said a moment ago? When you lose your home, you kind of feel like you're nobody and you're nowhere. Ask the people who've lost their homes. They feel like they're nobody and they're nowhere. Let me tell you what many people who are unsaved don't know is you can give them the best things in this world and still they feel unfulfilled. And it's because they feel instinctively like they're not really who they're supposed to be. Because their home is gone. They don't live in such a prominent place anymore. And that's why this city of our God, notice its prominence. Beautiful in elevation. It is an elevated city. It is high. It is a place that can be seen by everyone. And everybody who lives there is a somebody. Because they belong to this king, to this God to whom the city belongs. The third thing about this place, you remember how I said that you kind of lose your purity when you lose your place. You become dirty with the world and contaminated by everything that your home protected you against. Look at this place. Notice its purity. The psalm says it's a holy mountain. And it is beautiful in elevation. You see that? It's higher than all the other cities. And it's set apart. It's not like the other cities. It's not like the dumps around it. This is a pure city, elevated and holy. It is a place where the God who owns it makes you the somebody that he wants to be, and he always makes you clean. He cleans you up. He makes sure that you too become holy within the place as you worship him. Notice fourthly, its pleasure. The pleasure of the place. It says that it's a holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. It's the joy of all the earth. Now remember also what I said a moment ago. When you lose your home, your place, and your people, and your prominence, and your purity, when you lose all of that, the next thing that goes is your pleasure. It's your joy. You become a sad person. And that's why there are so many sad people in the world. I remember when I was a detective, many of the suicides that I attended was by people who were very prominent and very rich. They had everything. But they had nothing. They'd lost their joy. And the Lord says, in this place is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king, the place where his people don't only belong to the proprietor, they don't only have a prominence, they don't only have a purity, but they have a great pleasure. Notice fifthly, its power. This is a strong place, and we see its power and its protection together. Its power, it's for behold, the kings assembled. They came on together to want to threaten it, of course. And as soon as they saw it, they were astounded. They were in panic. They took to flight. Trembling took hold of them, their anguish as of a woman in labor. By your east wind, you shattered the ships of Tarshish. You see, this city is strong. It's not like the places the world provides. This is a strong place. It's unassailable. It is so powerful that the strongest enemy comes against it, and one look at it makes them run. You don't even have to fight. They just see the city and they run. That's the power of the city of our God. But the city also has a permanence. Notice what he says, in the city of our God, which God will establish forever. This city has a permanence. It will never be destroyed. God will establish it forever. So, let me summarize that for you. In the Garden of Eden, we lost the God to whom we belong. We lost our prominence. We were prominent in the Garden of Eden. So fill the earth and rule. We were somebody. We were God's people. We lost that. We were pure. We were nothing like we became later on, when into our minds and into our hearts came the things that make people do to people what people do to people. And haven't we seen some of that? Wars and poverty and divorce and murder and all these things that people do. It's because they lost their purity. They lost their innocence. And with that, we lost our power and our protection. And now we are just outside of Christ, nothing better than squatters in this world. You see, God doesn't want us to be squatters. He wants us to live with Him in the place that He has made. Now, you and I read the psalm and we say to ourselves, but we know what happened to Jerusalem. Don't you remember what happened to Jerusalem? They came and they burnt the place down, and that beautiful temple, the gold melted in the place, and they carried it all out of there. Everything precious to us was just destroyed, and there's nothing left there. So where's our city? My whole heart cries to be with God and to be somebody in God and to be pure and holy and to experience His joy and His power in my life and to have His protection and to know that it's going to be that way forever. But where is it now? You see, this place is a person. Let's look at the rest of the psalm now as we consider the praise. In verse 9 they say, we've sought on your steadfast love, O God. Look at that. Why did He make this place? It's because of His love. He made this place because of His love. And then notice three things inside of the city. There is a temple. We've thought on your steadfast love, O God, in the midst of your temple. And it's made us praise you. As your name, O God, so your praise reaches to the ends of the earth. So the city has a temple. Your right hand is filled with righteousness. Let Mount Zion be glad. There's the purity. Let the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments. There's the joy. There's the pleasure. But the city doesn't only have a temple. It also has towers. And He says to us, walk about Zion, go around her and count her towers. Consider well her ramparts, go through her citadels, that you may tell the next generation that this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will guide us forever. But you see, the city has a temple and it has towers. And the third thing that this temple has, it has a testimony. There is a testimony going about this temple. There is the truth going about it. It says, go around Zion. Go around a number of towers. Consider well her ramparts. Go through her citadels that you may tell the next generation. See, there's a testimony here. There are those of us who've seen this place with the temple and the towers and the truth. It's a place where there is a temple, where there are towers, and where there is the truth that we tell to our children. Now notice that this is not a place. It is a person. As if we look at the tower part of it, let's look at the tower part of it. Within her citadel, the dells, in verse 3, God has made himself known as a fortress. God is the fortress. He is the towers of the place. He is the strength of the place. And then, if we go to the book of Revelation and we read in chapter 21 and verse 22, we see something very significant about this temple. It says, there will be no temple in the New Jerusalem, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple. The temple is also a person. Just as the towers is a person, just in the same way the temples is a person. And we know about Jesus, who told us that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to him, to the Father, but by him. So he's the testimony too. And it all gets tied together for us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. Now what does Hebrews chapter 13 verse 14 say to us? Here we have no permanent city. It says, for here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. And the city that is to come is a spiritual city. It is the New Jerusalem. And in that place, God himself is our fortress. God himself is our tower. God himself is our protection. God himself is our proprietor. And then the purity we gain in the Christ, the Lamb, together with the Lord God Almighty, who himself is the temple. Can you see that? So what am I saying to you this evening? All of us in Adam, we lost our place. And it was so sad. And many people don't even know that. They wonder what is wrong with the world, and why are there so many people sleeping on the street? Why do I sometimes feel lonely in my home? And why do I sometimes, am I sometimes surrounded by people and I feel so alone? Why do I let the world get to me like this and contaminate me and destroy me? Why don't I have joy? What's happened to my joy? I feel unprotected, and the best I can do is scramble together some plastic and make just a place, but I know it'll only be for a while. And I will lose that too. You see, what needs to happen to us, we need to get saved. We need to flee to Christ. I know it sometimes sounds like a hobby horse of mine. But what I see in the fact that God is the tower and he is the great king, I see in that the redemptive work of Christ my King, who wants to give me the protection, the power, the prominence, and the permanence that I need and that the psalm speaks of. It's to be found in Christ alone. But what about the purity that we've lost? We can find it only in this temple. And Hebrews tells us that this temple will be the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb. That's Jesus Christ who hung on a cross and knew that it was our fault that we lost all of this. And it can be only restored if he took the penalty of that on himself. He is our high priest who sacrificed that lamb. And this testimony where we can tell our children, you and I can go around and we can look at this, look at our lives in Jesus. And we can say to our children, you know, this is what happened. This is how we lost everything. But this is how we found it back. In God there are ramparts. In God there are citadels. In God there are safe places. In God there are towers. God is a strong place. And you can get into that place in Christ. As the world messed you up and contaminated you, and you only see that in other people, never in yourself. You have a temple where you can go plead a sacrifice. His name is Jesus Christ. And the truth we have to, because as we live in our Lord, as we dwell in this city that is to come, He's the already and the not yet. As we dwell in Him and we find our sense of belonging, and once again, we belong to Him. We don't belong to nobody, we belong to Him. And He made you for His glory. And you know what? We're not proud about that in a sinful sense, but that makes us somebody. That makes you somebody. You know what it makes you? It makes you the child of a king. That's who it makes you. And it cleans you up. It takes all those attitudes and those sins and the nice ones and the not so nice ones. You know what I'm talking about? The not so nice ones. Adultery and lust and all those things that we're not supposed to say in decent company. The not so nice ones, but then the nice ones. Pride and haughtiness. They're the nice ones. But all of it is contamination. He cleans us up through the blood of Christ. And that gives us the strength. It gives us the power of the place. No one will pluck us out of His hands. And we are protected. We have ramparts and towers. And you know what He says? It's going to be forever. And so I end with this. It restores our joy. It restores our joy. Suddenly, we're glad again. Everything becomes beautiful. Everything gets new meaning. When I listen to Mozart before I got saved, it's nothing like listening to Mozart after I got saved. It's just, Mozart's just more beautiful. I remember the morning after I got saved, I've told you this, I used to smoke Camel cigarettes. Can anybody imagine me with a Camel cigarette? Some of my friends said, well, you got the hump for it. And I came outside of my house and I took this Camel in my hand and I took the Zippo lighter. And I looked up at the sky and I just never seen it that blue. It was just so beautiful. And I looked at the clouds and I saw these shapes and everything had changed. I never lit that Camel. It landed back in the pack and with a Zippo on top of the fridge. lay there for about 2 months or 3 months, and I threw it away. I think I gave the Zippo to somebody I didn't like. But what I'm saying is, your joy returns. You want joy? You want pleasure in this life? You will never have it before you run to the city of Psalm 48. You will never have it. And this city is not just a place, it's a person. And he's our prophet, our priest, and our king, our redeemer, our God, our Lord. And everything we lost, he gives back to us. As he becomes our temple, our tower, and our testimony, and he becomes our proprietor, restores our prominence and our purity and our pleasure, and keeps us by his power and his protection, and does so forever. Let us pray together. Thank you, Father, for this city that you have made for us. We pray that you help us to run to this city and to dwell in there with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved in Christ, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forevermore. Amen.